looking back on your life, your father, what kind of memories does that bring back to you? Good? Bad? Maybe some of us were adopted as children. Some of us have adopted kids into our family. All these events in life, you know, from a human perspective, can be bring great joy or maybe not the best memories. Well, that's what Paul is talking about in our series as we continue in Galatians. And he wrote this book once again to the churches he had evangelized on his first missionary journey, and he's defending the gospel, faith, promise, the good news of Jesus Christ, because Jewish opponents had come in after he had been there evangelizing in this south central part of Turkey and were saying, oh yeah, Jesus, great, but you also need to keep the law of Moses, works, especially circumcision to show that you are truly part of the family of God. And Paul is vehemently pushing back on this. And if you were here last time, as we looked at verses 26 through 29 of Galatians chapter 3, he was emphasizing that all people, without exception, in the sense of your ethnic makeup, your social makeup, your gender, your physical makeup, none of that is important. We all have equal standing before God in Christ. As sons of God, children of God, through faith alone, and he mentioned, and as evidence of that, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Several weeks ago, he had covered that in much more depth. And not only that, we are not only children, sons of God, we are heirs, like heirs in a family to receive the promised blessing. So if you have your Bibles, please take them and turn to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to just take a look at the first seven verses. And Paul starts off verses 1 and 2 giving an analogy or an illustration. And he starts off, now I say that the heir, he had mentioned heir just one verse prior, that the heir, as long as he is a child, before the age of inheritance, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Verse 2, but he is under guardians and stewards. Earlier talked about a pedagogue, a tutor, a custodian. But he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. If you will, the age of accountability, whenever the father set that date. And in Roman culture, it was usually mid-teens that happened. And so he's saying then that, you know, as a child, you are under this guardian, just like earlier he had been talking about, until Christ came, we were under the bondage of the law, under a pedagogue that defined our sin, that corrected us, things like that. Now, verses 3 through 5, he now applies that analogy to his readers. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And that's really a strange word, but talking about the primary early principles, elementary elements. Gerard earlier mentioned air, fire, water. Sometimes the word is stoicheia, the elemental elements of the world, basic old creation, which of course, in the old, you know, old pagan cultures, those elements of the earth could become worshipped by people looked at them. And Paul would say they are even spirits, elemental spirits, demons. So before, early on, when we were in bondage to these old this old creation, verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, fully human, born under the law. So under this world of sin, the law which confined everyone, Jesus, of course, wasn't under the law. He was not a sinner, but he was born into that world as fully human, where he could identify with his people. Verse 5, and what was the purpose? To redeem those who were under the law. So Jesus was born under the law, kept the law, and he redeems those people who were under the bondage of the elements, under the law, to redeem them, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And so now what are the implications? Verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. And that is singular. So each person, each of us individually, we are no longer a slave, but a son. We are no longer in bondage. We have matured. We are now the heirs of the Father. And we can cry out, you know, Daddy, Abba. And if a son, then an heir through God, or my translation says, an heir of God through Christ. But God has done it. God has appointed the time for his children to receive the inheritance. We are no longer those children needing to be confined, disciplined, things like that, under all these negative things Paul has talked about the last several weeks. So what are some implications, or what's some application for us? First of all, the term mission. When I was in graduate school, my missiologist, not guys that send missiles, but missiologist, same root word though, just like you send a missile, you send missions out, but made a difference. Capital M, mission, is what God did in sending the Son. And the word send is where we get our word apostle, which means sent ones. Out, the word, the Greek prefix out plus apostle. So Jesus is that ultimate capital A apostle, sent by the Father to accomplish his will. That's mission. And so then what we in the church do, we have missions, small m, you know, with an S, the things we do, which, you know, sending out missionaries. This is a very generous church family. We send a lot of money to missionaries. That's great. And everything of human missions should be tied to God's mission. So there are many good causes. Well, the church mainly should be involved in God's mission, the Jesus Christ being sent as the Savior to die for sins of fallen people. In fact, about 9 years later, Paul wrote Galatians about 49 AD. Gordon was small then. But then Romans he wrote about 8 years later. And John, I'm going to have John come up and read sort of a parallel section in Romans that covers some of these same ideas. These are very important issues for Paul and for us about God sending and the Spirit and all those things. So John, Romans 8, verses 1 to 17.
read God's word. From Isaiah 1:17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who, according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, but it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons of which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Thanks, John. And in Romans verse 11, but also in Galatians 3 verse 6, there's a triune relationship, God, Spirit, Son, all mentioned in this aspect of saving us and making us, by faith, the heirs, the sons, the children. And for the last several weeks, that word under has appeared a lot. We are under the law, Galatians 3:23. We are under sin, Galatians 3:22. We are under a custodian or a pedagogue, Galatians 3:25. We are under the elements, those elemental old creation, Galatians 4:3. But we have been redeemed, bought out of that marketplace. We were slaves to those things. We were bought out of the slave market and set free by Christ, who took the curse that we deserve on him. So that is God's good mission that he is doing by faith, by promise, not by Jewish opponents, not by the law of Moses works. It's by the gospel. But then also that word adoption. In the Old Testament, more is said about sonship than adoption. Adoption's not mentioned a whole lot. For example, God says to Moses, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn." And then by the time of the New Testament, Paul, talking about Israel's history, says in Romans 9, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. And so when Paul's talking about adoption, he's maybe alluding to, hinting at the Exodus, which was a huge event, of course, for Israel, their redemption and adoption as God made them his people during the Greco, Greeks and Romans. You know, they had a very elaborate structure for adopting a son and providing for an heir. One of the most famous of those would, if you know, a guy named Julius Caesar, he adopted a young man named Octavius, who later became Caesar Augustus. He was like his great uncle or something. And there were a lot of, you know, the wars, if you know your Roman history. But back in those days, as a guy named Michael Buhr says, the primary focus of ancient adoption was often practical and legal, which if it, today now, if any of us have associations with adoption, it's not humanitarian and moral as it is in the present day. So it's very illegal. There was a very sort of, not, I won't say impersonal, but a very practical reason for adoption. So the legal then, when it comes to our adoption, legal, yes, but much greater, the loving will of God. He adopts us as his children. We can say Abba, which is an Aramaic word for father, or we might say very intimate, like daddy. We can call God our father, daddy, through Jesus Christ. So, you know, hopefully we can look back and see, no matter how bad our earthly families were, are, you know, I know we all have in-laws, outlaws today, but God the Father in Jesus Christ, who is, he has adopted us despite ourselves, we can call him daddy. We share the blessings and the privileges of a son. We're not just legally adopted, you know, just legal, but loving. We are the heirs. We are God's own people. And just I would point out, there we have to be adopted because there are no natural born sons, no natural born children of God, barring Christ, accepting Christ, in the family of God. Because of sin, we've been separated. That's why we need to be adopted in. So through faith in the gospel, we are no longer minors, but adults. We are no longer slaves, but sons. And as sons, we are heirs of God and his promised blessings and inheritance. As John read in Romans 8:17, and if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So I go back to the beginning. Our earthly families, you know, I'm very blessed. My earthly father, next week is Father's Day. My earthly father is a wonderful, wonderful, a lot of you know him. I had a very positive picture of a heavenly father. Maybe some of you don't. But, you know, sort of negative example. Now just imagine that perfect father. And that's what God is, a perfect father who has adopted children. And so all of it is a positive experience in Jesus Christ, from slaves to sons. And that's all by faith and promise, not through the temporary works of the law. And that's the central message of all of Galatians that Paul repeats over and over, which maybe it's important that we understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have redeemed us, that you have sent your Son to bear the curse of the law on our behalf, so that we might become your sons and daughters by faith in Christ, one in the family of God. Help us to live with that reality as heirs, not as in fear as slaves, but as sons who out of gratitude lovingly obey you, our Heavenly Father. Thank you for fathers and you being the prime example. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.